Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I am Justin.
And I'm Shane.
And you are listening to the podcast, Making Conspiracies Fun Again. Today, our topic, the raw material to be crazy.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Hell yeah.
The raw. The law of one.
Perfect.
This is a crazy, crazy, big time conspiracy theory that we probably will not be the last time that this comes up, but I'm excited to talk about it. Excited that I'm drinking a Hopfly beer. Thank you, Hopfly Brewing, for supporting us. This is the Crunch Time Lager, which we've said lots of good things about. So if you're in Rocky Mount or Charlotte, stop at their brewery, or if you see in a bottle shop here where they distribute, try it out.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, the lager's our favorite, but they have tons of great beers. We're running low, so we got to restock.
Got to re-up.
Yeah, but it's great. Yeah. Thanks again, Hopfly.
Yeah, we've been doing all kinds of fun stuff. Thanks for supporting us. If you're not a patron or on Spotify Premium, you get bonus episodes, which are really, really fun. We recently talked about this horrific woman.
Yeah.
Georgia Tan.
Real bad lady.
Abducted like 5,000 children in the 30s.
She was the Cruella de Vil of kids.
The real life, yeah. Yeah, she was like the woman in Orphan Annie that was the bitch. You know? That was her.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you get kind of bonus episodes. Kind of fun. Other than that, I'm ready to jump into the law of one. And to do it, we've got a very special guest here in the studio with us. He's from New York, so you'll notice an accent. But he's a Raleigh, lives in Raleigh now, comedian, does a lot of fun stuff. We spoke on the show, Brian McGinnis.
Hey, what's up? I'm from New York over here. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Yeah, where in New York are you from?
Grew up in Massapequa.
Massapequa.
Seinfeld, Buttafuoco.
Oh, yeah.
That's on Long Island? Is that on Long Island?
Yeah, Long Island. Nice. The Baldwins. A ton of famous people. And then the last 20 years in Queens or Manhattan.
Okay.
5,000 kids.
Yeah.
I have two, and I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I cannot even imagine.
It's a horrific story.
I bet.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You abduct one, you're an asshole. 5,000
is a lot.
That's the next level.
You get an award.
In her defense, she made a lot of money doing it.
Oh, well, that's funny.
You know, I mean,
how much are we talking?
I'm against, kidnapping, but I'm for capitalism. You know.
And the crazy thing is she all just kept them under a giant hoop skirt and just walked around just plucking them all under there.
She kept saying, this is my new side hustle.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Wow.
What a great TikTok.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. You lure a kid into your van.
Hashtag hustle.
And crazy.
I make $5,000 a week just in my side hustle stealing kids.
Yeah, exactly. I influence kids. I'm an influencer.
I influence kids to get into this van. Yeah.
It's a very sad story, though.
It's really terrible. I can't believe we're making fun of it now.
Yeah. It's because we don't. Yeah, it's past.
We don't have to actually talk about the gory details.
Right. No, it's time plus tragedy equals comedy, and we recorded that episode a half hour ago. It's fine.
There you go.
Well, we have a beer now. Yeah. I've had a burrito and a beer, so now it's all funny.
My goodness.
So I'm guessing, most people listening, Brian, you have no idea what the law of one is. You've never heard of Don Elkins at all.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Have the law of three, like when you're a comic, is it similar to that?
This is the rule of three.
The law of one is a all-encompassing theology of sorts. But to get to understand even how we get to that point, you need to know a little bit about how the teachings of the law of one came to be.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. It started in 1962. With a very interesting guy named Don Elkins. Don Elkins was a very smart guy, and he began to experiment with channeling, where you can channel other entities through a person who was called the instrument. And he was a solid dude. I mean, he had his own... He was an accomplished engineer.
He's in a kickball league on the weekend. Nice
guy. He was the head of University of Alaska's mechanical engineering.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how hard is that job to get?
I mean, I don't know.
There's probably three guys who would go for that job.
I don't think.
Shout out to Alaska.
Yeah. What up?
I don't know about the University of Alaska's. I don't know. The university might have been brand new in 60.
Right.
I don't know how long they've had a university. Didn't Alaska become a state in like the 50s?
I think so, right? When did we buy that?
It's really late.
Yeah.
Surprisingly late.
Yeah. I didn't realize
that. I think my parents remember when Alaska
became a state. Really? Let's take a guess.
Okay. I think it's post 1950.
Now we gotta Google this shit.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
Okay.
Is that part of the Louisiana Purchase?
No.
And we'll throw in this giant chunk of ice. 1959.
That's crazy.
I told you it was late.
What?
Man.
Yeah. Who owned it before?
You know, people were alive then.
Russia. Oh, yeah. What a dumb thing for them to get rid of.
What a stupid thing.
Why would they do that? Dude, they could have had. They're worried about NATO, and they could have been in our backyard. Right.
This is called even for us.
Yeah, that's a really bad.
We don't like this thing that's shaped that goes.
Why did we buy it though? I mean,
I don't know.
Oil.
Oil. Oh,
it's got to be, right? I think it's tons of oil, which is crazy because it's all ice. But
yeah, then why did they sell it? What a dumb move, Russia. Jokes on you, Putin.
I have a cousin who moved to Alaska from Jersey. Right, he has five kids, all girls, and in our cousin group chat. He's always just like, hey, guys, beautiful day in Alaska. And he'll show like a beautiful, like, awesome, amazing picture. Perfect. But then he'll be like, you know, one of my neighbors slipped under the ice and never came back up yesterday. It's like all the time. Like, people disappear. He's always like, hey, this is great, but. And it's like, wah, wah.
Holy
it's kind
shit.
Of Debbie Downersville over there.
Yeah, really.
It's beautiful, but it's like one of the highest suicide rates in the world, I think.
Oh, yeah, because they don't get enough light.
Yeah. It's miserable.
This is not at all on topic, but that's okay. We bought Alaska in 1959. What do you think we paid for Alaska?
Mm. Ooh.
I just looked it up.
I think it was just a second round draft pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to say $33 million.
Hold on. The Louisiana Purchase was...
I think that was free. I think we won't kill you anymore.
Let's say you're making a big deal, so it must be either really high or really low. Let's say like $12 million.
$7.2
million. Whoa! Holy shit. Your friend's house is worth more than that.
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was in a house recently that's worth more than Alaska was. And I mean, again, granted inflation, it's probably like, it was 2 cents an acre.
I think
that's
we got a new episode coming soon with you guys there. What was really going on in Alaska?
That's crazy. Seriously. That's crazy.
That's wild.
So I just don't know, because he was the head of the engineering department in 1960 to 1961. So Alaska,
brand new.
Maybe they bought it for the college. It was already there. They're like, we don't have to build a college. This is great.
So I don't know that it was a real stout, but he became a professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Louisville.
Okay,
all right.
So he was legit.
Sure.
Legit.
He did leave that tenured position to fly a jet, a Boeing jet, so that it gave him more free time to devote to his passion.
Just for funsies to fly the jet, or like.
That was his job.
Okay.
Which, in my mind, I was like, that doesn't check out to me.
Right.
Like, he has more time as a jet pilot than he did as a college professor. Every college professor I knew with tenure didn't do shit.
Right.
Yeah.
2 hours a week.
I was like, what do you teach class three days a week?
Yeah. Well, we're already questioning this guy, so that's good. That's good.
But what he said was he wanted to devote more time to his passion, which was ufology.
Okay.
And the paranormal. I can get behind that. And so he spent his own money and time and flew his own plane all around the world to talk to lots of people that had paranormal experiences, a lot of people that had been abducted by aliens or had seen aliens.
Okay.
He was a regular, like, he was like a Fox Mulder type.
Okay,
like
yeah.
He had this really great quote that I read, and it was about... If you go into something with doubt, you will always find a way to prove it wrong. Like the only way to truly do paranormal research is with a complete neutrality.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Or gullibility. He was like, gullibility is even better than people that are hostile. Like if you go in as a skeptic, you will prove it wrong to yourself.
Well, it's the way they say, a lot of people are like, oh, hypnotism is bad because you can hypnotize somebody and they'll make them do anything. It's like, you can only be hypnotized if you want to be hypnotized.
Is that right?
That's one thing they don't tell you is that you have to be open to believing it works before
I want to be hypnotized.
Yeah, then it'll work.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I used to do it to kids all the time in high school.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got in trouble for it.
Dicknotized.
Yeah, that's right. I was like, watch the pendulum.
In 1955, this guy, Don Elkins, founded a group called the L/L Research, and he began experimenting with his mechanical engineering kind of mind. Very, very scientific. He was really committed to the scientific method and things. Okay. He started experimenting with things like age regression hypnosis. Are you familiar with
it? No.
So
do you believe your younger age or something?
Yeah. No, you,
it pulls memories, right? From when you were younger.
From when you're younger, and it can even pull memories from prior lifetimes. Now, this is a controversial paranormal form of hypnosis, but there's a lot of credible evidence that it actually works.
That's cool.
Like people have had memories of past lives, and then it's like, I lived in a big white house on 52 Cherry Lane in Minneapolis. And then they're like, oh, here's 52. That's they like perfectly describe like a house.
That's,
from a
brass that's awesome. I so, love Zillow.
So he was just doing all this stuff as LOL research. He's a pilot and he's just sort of vigorously investigating and collecting data and information on paranormal and especially UF stuff. And he visited UFO contactees all over the country. And one place he went was to Detroit, Michigan, for a group of contactees who had developed a message of channeling that was shared with him. And in channeling, they had been given some information by extraterrestrials to sort of duplicate the channeling process, kind of like instructions for the channeling process. Right. Now, if you're confused about what the channeling process is, that's okay. We'll talk about it.
Perfect.
That, right. So Elkin takes these protocols back with him. And now that I say this, this is before, this is why he was still a professor. So in 1962, he says to some of his mechanical engineering students, hey, I'm doing an experiment. It's nothing to do with class. If you'd like to volunteer, I'm looking for like 12 to 13 people who want to do this experiment.
Watch the dick you love.
Yeah. Which is something you could probably only get away with in the 1960s. Right. I mean, like if you're a professor in 2020 is like, would you like to be...
Here's directions to my house.
Yeah. That's not... No.
Not going to fly.
Pool party.
So the idea behind this is that you through these protocols... One can enter into almost hypnotic, unconscious state where through you can channel other entities, right?
And they will speak through you, correct?
They will speak through you. Mm-hmm. You are an instrument. And the way that it works is a lot like radio frequency tuning.
They're going to say Beetlejuice, like the,
oh, yeah.
The dinner, party scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the way that they describe these protocols is essentially like you're essentially tuning your brain and your body to become an instrument to channel this other entity through.
Which, from a scientific basis, has merit, I think.
Yes.
If we look at, you know, everything in life is vibration. If you can tune yourself to whatever the vibration is you want to experience, you should be able to experience it.
Can you just talk to your pets this way then? Is that a thing?
You would think.
How many times have you looked at your cat and just be like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah,
like, say one word. Yeah. Just one word. So I want to know what you're thinking, right?
Like, I assume you would have to have the same concept of language to be able to do that.
That'd be amazing.
To talk to your cat.
Right. So you could channel, but it would just be garbly gook or meows. Yeah,
they're not coming at you in English.
No, you still just get the meows in your head.
I like this food better than this food.
Right.
That's all you got.
Yeah.
Have you seen that where they've created these buzzers for animals, though?
Yeah.
I have
with all
those.
The word, like single words, and they know that, like, I want to go outside, and they buzz that. Yeah. They want food.
Dogs and chimps.
Yeah.
Cats don't care.
No, cats don't give a fuck. Cats do not give a fuck.
They do whatever they
want. No, they're just somewhere laying out in the highest point in the research lab.
Judging.
Yeah, exactly.
So in 1962, a woman meets Elkin and decides to join his channelers, and her name was Carla Ruckert.
Okay.
She was a student, and she was the 13th person in there. And for the first month, 6 months to a year, all the channeling produced were a cacophony of guttural sounds, slurps, tongue flops. She described tongue flops, which I don't know.
Yeah. Like Vincent D'Onofrio in Men in Black.
Right.
Yeah.
I got a fun story about him off air.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know what, like, she claimed that, like, it was impossible for her not to laugh for the first 6 months.
It's all slurps and tongue flap. My professor was crazy.
And what's weird is that these people are in an unconscious state. Like, they've done the meditative work to get into this sort of state, and then the noises they produce are just unintelligible noises. And they're like, well, this isn't working.
Yeah. Would you think, though, if you get to that point, you're like, hey, at least it's something.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. Wouldn't you like be like, holy shit,
that's
this is something.
That's how Elkins described them. Right? He described them as promising, but not particularly useful.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
And then a breakthrough comes.
Ooh.
And they, one of the contactees from the Detroit group visited them to sort of see how things were going. Mm-hmm. And he said... he sat down and he got into the state, and he was almost immediately contacted by a telepathic impression. And so he's like, and he starts speaking in a voice like not his own. So now somebody, he's channeling something, and the voice says, why don't you speak the thoughts that are on your mind? We are attempting to use you as instruments of communication, but you are all blocked through fear that you will not be speaking the proper words.
Oh, interesting.
Through the instrument, Walter Rogers of Detroit, Michigan, the group was instructed to refrain from analysis, to speak the thoughts, and to analyze the communication only after it had been completed. So in other words, they were trying to interpret what was being said to them.
Right.
And they were like, just channel. Mm. Just channel what's said.
Right.
You'll figure it out later.
Just talk like you're drunk. Don't think about what you're saying.
No filter.
Yeah.
Like, we've all seen the like when you see people speaking in tongues. And I live with a guy that would get, he called it getting slain in the spirit. And he would speak in tongues.
How long did you live with this guy? I'd be there for about a minute.
He was probably schizophrenic. He would get deeply involved in this religious cult. And then he would get help, and he would back away from it.
Oh, interesting.
And he was an unreal guitar player, like off the charts unreal. And he would buy a guitar and start playing heavy metal. And then he would pull him into what he called was the demons. And then he would go back to the cult and get saved again. And then he would speak in tongues.
Wild.
And then
talk about a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster. He never knew if George was going to be ripping on guitar or if he was going to be like,
That's so wild that he would think music was the worst of those. Yeah.
And he never did the dishes.
So.
No. Man, he would buy CDs and then smash them when eventually we were like, this is when CDs were kind of valuable. Next time God tells you to smash those CDs, why don't you just give them to the rooms, roommates, man. This guy really breaks it open for him. And within a month, people, except for Carla, started to channel transmissions. It was
She could have gotten slurps.
Yeah.
I'm looking slurps, guys. Phone's going?
Yeah, what's going on? Jesus.
That was gross, So they what they're learning is it took a while for them to kind of, as they said, tune into the frequency.
Yeah.
And once they did,
do they do that mentally, or is there are they hooked up to something to make them?
They twist their nipples. It's a tune in Tokyo.
Is that like a mental thing? Like tune in that way, or do you know?
It's very new age hokey.
Okay.
I mean, to our 2020 sensibilities.
Gotcha.
A bunch of people in a room, some chanting. You need at least three people.
Yeah.
There's an interpreter, there's an instrument, and there's all these protocols that you follow.
Okay.
There's energy and there's this meditation. It's not something that we could get the rules, we could get the protocol, and we could try it.
Right here?
I mean, it's available to everybody.
Nice.
But
I've been doing it my whole life. I don't know who's talking.
Yeah.
Is there a medicine man?
Eventually Carla becomes the most important of the instruments. She finally figures it out, and she's sort of been chosen as the instrument who's contacted by an extraterrestrial by the name of Ra. R.A.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and you've probably heard of the name Ra before, correct?
I know R.A. the Rugged Man, the rapper from Long Island.
Do you know the Egyptian?
Yes, of course.
Egyptian, same guy. Same
Ra.
Right. Now this is where we pause.
Imagine he had to prove it. I swear I'm him. Come on,
two forms of ID.
We pause because when most of us think of extraterrestrial, right? What we're thinking of is we're thinking of like little green men, or maybe even more so like just UFOs generally.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's not what Elkin and many people in his circle and in this sort of world of paranormal think about extraterrestrials. They're not beings that can come and go here, like, you know, like just humans in a different, from a different planet.
Yeah.
They're dimensional beings. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So like, in other words, like aliens that can fly here via a UFO, they live in our same dimension, right?
Third dimension.
Third dimension. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the fourth. I don't know which one it is.
Right.
But
we're in three dimensions.
We're
currently
in 3D?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought time made it the fourth dimension.
No, that makes it the third.
Third.
Doesn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure fourth. Once you get into fourth dimensions, you're dealing with like crazy shapes crazy that don't stuff. Exist okay. in our reality.
All right. Well, like then, that. In any case, yeah. they're obviously by the fact that they can come here, they're in our world. Ra is a being that's beyond our dimension. He's not from the same dimension as we are. And there's a lot of these extraterrestrials, mm-hmm. right? And so Carla is contacted by Ra, and he transmits to her the teachings of the Law of One. And these transmissions through the instrument of Carla were meticulously transcribed and recorded into the Book of the Law of One.
And they have audio tapes of all these sessions.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
I am Ra, the Law of One, though beyond the limitations of name, as you call vibratory sound complexes, may be approximated by stating that all things are one. That there is no polarity, no right or wrong, no disharmony, but only identity. All is one, and that one is love, light, light, love, the infinite creator. That's from session 4 of 106 different sessions.
So she's saying this.
Yeah.
She's under a trance, so to speak. And just,
under a trance.
This comes out of her mouth.
Her mouth, but...
Not her voice? Or we don't know.
Good question. Huh? Yeah, I think it's her voice.
So. Yeah. And they ask, Ra invites them to ask questions.
Yeah.
So we're gonna look at some of these, and I think you'll, you know, so like,
when's a McRib coming back?
Yeah.
You know, so this is
one of the, there's a couple sites that have all the material channeled by LNL Research. But you can see, like, this one has all 106 sessions, and then you can go to any session, and they're talking about something. Why don't you just pick a random number between?
My birthday is February 19th. Let's go 19th.
All right. What was going down?
It's going to be nuts 19th. If it says your name.
It would be nice if I could click on it.
There you go.
Okay. I am Ra. I greet you in the love and light of the infinite creator. Creator, we communicate now. And so let's look down here. What I'd like to know first is, do all entities make a transition from second to third destiny, or are there some entities who have never gone through
density?
What did I say?
Destiny. Density is very key for this.
Yeah, there's these.
Wait, is that from Back to the Future? You are my density.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's I think 6 densities according to Ra. And each, it's like octaves on a.
So humans are third density beings.
Being.
My dick is like 4.
Yeah, right? That's right. Shaped like a Taurus.
Ra is like a 6th density being.
Mm-hmm.
So now here they're just talking about the different densities that people and how that works. And
do you see how he answers each question?
I am Ra. Every time.
I am Ra.
That would be like, get it. You're Ra. Yeah. Who else would we be talking to?
Brian Fellows.
I'm Brian Fellows. Go back and click on, this one's a little bit tougher if we click the numbers, but if you go to the glossary or the categories on the right.
Oh, yeah.
So click on Bigfoot. So what they've done here is pretty interesting. They have like
He mentions these things.
He
does. Yeah, okay, so these are like, so you look at these.
Maybe
these
search for Bigfoot.
Is, you know,
that's sexual energy transfer.
Okay, we'll look at that one. So you have all these, you know, negative path, like this not answered. He just didn't answer a question. He talks about densities.
It's like your Google Home.
Energy centers, healing, right? Ra, white magic, wanderers, UFOs. So all these, you know, you can go to the website, lawofone.info, and you can, like, if you want to see what raw the ancient, this ancient density being, sixth density being, who's the same raw that has been helped build the pyramids and, and apparently that one all failed because the people weren't ready to, like, they weren't as advanced as we are now.
Yeah, I think what they say is the pyramids were initial, and you can click on it, but pyramids were built to be kind of these energy centers that helped spread this love message, and it didn't really work. So Ra actually left Earth, according to this mythology and these teachings. Ra left Earth because he failed at his job of moving us into fourth density.
Been there.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can see that, you know, it just talks about, here are the two purposes of the pyramids: properly oriented initiation for those who wish to become purified or initiated, and then carefully guide the initiates in developing healing of the people with whom they sought to aid.
Imagine she just went home and just researched all this for the night. The next day, she has all this, like, bullshit.
Exactly.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy.
106 more of these.
I know. What's interesting, so we mentioned the densities a little bit, but the way Ra describes it, I think, and this is, we've just barely touched the surface and we don't know a ton about this, but, you know, you have six densities, and what they say is Earth, people of Earth are third density beings. We need to evolve to fourth density beings. It also describes, like, why are there Bigfoot here and why are there aliens and things like that. And it's like, well, some of those are third density beings from other planets that graduated from second density beings and came here. And they say what happens. Are you going to talk about the harvest later? Have you talked about that?
No.
Okay.
No.
So the harvest, basically, once you reach a certain stage of enlightenment, you are harvested to move on to the next phase.
Next phase.
Wow.
It's crazy. And the next phases often are on different planets. Which is, yeah, I know, right?
Bob, get me out of here.
I know.
Yeah. So, you know, here's a thing about sexual energy transfer.
Type in Bigfoot in the search. The Bigfoot one's pretty interesting to me.
Bigfoot is an interdimensional being.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, yeah. Three types of Bigfoot.
Third is a thought form.
One is Shaquille O'Neal. He wears a 22.
That's right.
Yeah, so this is Bigfoot. You know, he goes into great detail about why the Bigfoots are here and
why you can't find them
and all this stuff. Yeah. And it's like, so this thing, if you go back and again look at the categories, it's a really striking amount of information on sort of a theory of everything.
Yeah.
And it's all related to, like, what I said in the beginning. This thing is that it can all kind of be distilled, if you will, into this idea that all things are one. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, we are all one thing. Mm. Right now, we are experiencing life in this form because of where we are in this organization of stuff. And all this came to be, and what's important for me, because what we're going to talk about next, is that, like, all this came because these people figured out how to channel extraterrestrial entities through these protocols that they got.
How is this still not going on?
It is.
It is?
There's definitely people that still...
They stopped talking to Ra a while ago, but they communicate with
him.
They're like, we know, stop saying you're Ra. But they have tons of interviews with other entities, apparently. It's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, there are people, and Shane shared one with me before the show, that have some critiques of this. There was another really famous paranormal researcher named, I forget his first name, Puharik.
Oh, something like that, yeah.
Alex Puharik, I think. And he was an investigator who had several weird patents to his name, to his credit. Most of them involved auditory patents for, like, hearing aids and also sort of communication through hearing aids wirelessly. And he, through channeling, contacted what were called the nine elder gods, one of whom was Ra. And at least one critic said that the notion of Ra didn't enter into Elkin's channeling until he and this woman visited him. Gertz visited him. And then that's where they got the idea from.
They weren't looking for Ra, you're saying. He just, or looking for someone like that?
The criticism, well, here's a couple theories on it. Mm. One theory is that this is all just a hoax.
Right.
This is all just bullshit. And that theory to me doesn't make a lot of sense. And the main reason it doesn't make a lot of sense is because they've made no money off of this.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they pretty much self-published all their books and they're available through mail order. But they, I mean, Yeah. Like at some point they had money for a little while to do research, and then when it ran out, they all had second jobs. They're not constantly asking you for money. You don't even go to their website and have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
So like, if they were trying to run a con, it's a really bad con.
Yeah, they're real bad. They're much better channeling.
It's not. Yeah.
Than making money.
My problem.
Yeah.
Most mornings. Mm-hmm. Is that I wake up. This is the normal for me. Wake up, do the Wordle.
Oh, right, yeah.
Do the New York Times spelling bee, and I start playing chess, and I can't get out of bed.
Oh, yeah. Once you're locked in, it's like, why do I need to leave this thing?
Right, and I'm just like, but that's the problem for me, is the motivation to get going.
Yeah.
But for me, when I do Magic Mind, mm-hmm. even when I just, like, you know, like coffee is like this, like if I prep the coffee the night before, mm-hmm. I'm like, all I have to do is push a button.
Yeah.
With Magic Mind, I'm like, all I have to do is take that shot.
Yeah.
And I am jacked.
Yeah. That stuff's awesome. And it's very Pavlovian. Like it's something where I just look forward to it. Like you smell coffee in the morning.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm ready to go.
When
yeah.
When I know it's sitting there waiting for
exactly.
me, I'm like. Like woo, and I'm supercharged.
This stuff keeps you up and alert and motivated cleanly, I think.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I just feel like my focus is so improved, and I don't ever get the spike. Even with coffee, I get a spike.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually that spike ends up in the toilet.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But with Magic Mind, it's like I'm just like, yeah, okay. And I think I told you once, I write a list down of stuff I have to get done every day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll look back at the end of the day and I'm like, all I've gotten done is drink.
Yeah.
On that list.
Yeah. So you put drinking on your list?
No, I don't put drinking on the list. It just goes along with comedy.
Sure.
If I have to like a
absolutely,
show. Like,
yeah.
But with Magic Mind, it's like, I'll be like, oh shit, my list is done. Let me go knock some other stuff out.
So. It's crazy. Yeah. I've found myself to be way more motivated, more apt to get stuff done on that list for sure. And I was looking at the ingredients, and one of the big ingredients is matcha. It's bright green. Matcha, if you don't know, is it's just a green tea, but it.
Well, that's good. I like.
Yeah,
I like the matcha.
It's so good. It's got more caffeine than regular tea, and it really keeps you alert. They have some other stuff in there that's awesome. There's ashwagandha.
I love ashwagandha.
Yeah, you can just buy a lot of these. You can buy separately and spend a lot of money on supplements.
Ashwagandha is crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Does it have lion's mane in it, or does it have some other mushroom?
It does. Lion's mane's great.
That's super expensive too.
It is. Yeah, we buy that for my mother-in-law. But yeah, that's a nootropic and adaptogen. So they have a lot of great things in there. I don't know what they all do together, but they work great together, and they make you feel great and make you motivated.
That's why I like it.
Yeah, so I'd recommend it.
How would you buy it? How do we buy it? We have a code?
We do. Oh. So you can go to magicmind.co/conspiracybeerme, and you get up to 56% off your subscription for the next 10 days with our code conspiracyb20. This code will be valid forever, 20% off or off both one-time purchase and subscriptions. But like I said, in the next 10 days, you get up to 56% off when applied to a subscription.
I would do it.
Yeah, it's great. And it stacks with a subscription discount from the website, so you get a total of 56% off. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah,
all right, thanks.
Drink your Magic Mind.
Peace. The other theory is that Purik, I think is how you say it, he was experimenting with implanting memories through hypnosis. As well as synthetic telepathy.
Telepathy.
Yep.
One of those.
Which is communicating with the mind
yeah.
through a synthetic device.
Hmm.
And so some people think that he hypnotized this woman and implanted in her brain these ideas of Ra.
Wow.
And yeah. I'm like, one, that's pretty good hypnosis.
Yeah.
And two.
Usually you can just make him bark like a chicken or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. I mean, and then she like.
Not the history of the world.
In theory, yeah. everything, the little bit we just showed you, but all 106 of those books are things that she said that were recorded.
Right. And she probably didn't know ahead of time. She was just a yeah. student at this point?
No, she. Oh, they yeah. did this okay. for like, this is over like the course of like 12 years.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It took a long time to
yeah.
go.
Gotcha.
The channeling is not something you can just do. Like you can't, it's not something that works every time. The instrument has to be rested. Sometimes yeah. Ra will even say.
She's getting tired.
Do not wake her up until she responds to wow. her own name. Yep. Right. And so like, it's harder to do than you think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how easy you think it is to channel an extra right. yeah, yeah, yeah. But it seems pretty hard.
Also, what's interesting, too, is there's a whole section where they asked Ra. Apparently, throughout this process, one of their animals was sick, like a cat was sick, and they're like, what's wrong with my cat? So they like asking about that. And then the woman that does the channeling at one point, I don't know what her disease was. She eventually died of it, I believe. She was sick, and they're like, they're asking Ra what's wrong with her. So if
right.
It's just weird that if she was the one making this shit up, why would she just not be like, oh, I know what it is. I smoke too many cigarettes and it's probably lung cancer. It's like Ra was giving reasonings for her thing and talked about things she could do to help it. But they didn't. I don't think they wanted her on drugs because that would affect the channeling process. It was a whole thing.
Like, even if it's not Ra, what the hell was it?
Right.
Like, exactly. I mean, like that's like, right. what the hell was making her say this? Yeah. Thing? That's the really fascinating thing to me.
Yeah. Like, and especially speaking the way all these things sound the same and it, that woman wouldn't talk like that in right. regular
That's
life.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, and yet it's so consistent in how that stuff is delivered.
Right. What was it? It's a really elaborate lie. And again, it was caught, it was all recorded, so you can listen to the audio if you want. And it's like, well, that's an incredibly creative person. So either she they wrote it out and then she memorized it so she could fake the whole channeling process. and then there's other people who have come at this hoax thing from a very strange perspective where they're just like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If it all was a hoax, what matters is that there's this teaching. And the question is like, do you believe this teaching that all things are one? Like,
yeah, that makes sense too.
Yeah. So they're just like, I don't, you know, like there are fictional books out there that are complete fiction, but yet inspire people and shift and generate beliefs in a way. And so I don't really care whether it was fake or not.
The Bible.
Yeah. We have this teaching now. So let's talk about it that way, which is what I find interesting, because to me, all of this is part of a boom in what was called modern religious ufologies. So during this time, there was a lot of people that were blending UFOs with religion in this sort of way. There's a guy named George Van Tessel in 1952. He was contacted telepathically by an extraterrestrial named Ashtar. And he actually used a very similar method. And to this day, there are people who are unconnected with one another who have found each other because they'll go online and they'll be like, I was contacted last night by an alien named Ashtar. And they Google it, and then they're like,
holy shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, there are tons of people. They're like, I was contacted by an alien named Ashtar. And so there are people now to this day that believe there is one of the nine elder gods. Some people say he's one of them, but there's this there's this extraterrestrial that makes contact with people on Earth and channels them as under the name Ashtar.
Love it. For what reason?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is a lot of the UFO cases, like the Ariel School incident, which is a very interesting one. Kids were visited by a UFO, and there's been several ones at schools like that. And the UFO, the occupants always use telepathy to communicate with children or whoever they're with. And oftentimes the message is, you're screwing up the planet, you're doing things wrong, you got to get it together. Yeah. And they often tell kids that because they're the ones that can actually make a difference and change it. What's the reasoning why this Ashtar or Ra would speak to us? I guess one thing they talk about in the Law of One is that not everybody on Earth is a third density being. A lot of them are helpers. They're just physical manifestations of like fifth and sixth density beings.
Non-playable characters.
Yeah, yeah. They're NPCs, but they come here. They say Jesus was one of those people that was here to try to direct things a certain way. Helpers, they say. It's really interesting.
I mean, they should, channel the fucking hillbilly burning tires on his front lawn, tell him to stop.
I know, right?
Yeah, burning exactly. The planet, instead of the children. Maybe tell that guy to
stop doing what he's doing. The smoke looks cool. What are you talking about?
I have a friend back in New York, Evan Jacobs. His dad is Dr. David Jacobs, he's written a ton of nonfiction books about UFOs and aliens.
Oh, really?
That's what I was looking up. I was just confirming his name before, but he's apparently one of the biggest, like,
oh, wow.
They're real, and here's why, like, type of
that's
author.
Awesome.
His name is Dr. David Jacobs.
And okay.
Written a few books.
I'll check that out. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Before I move on, the most popular, I think, UFOlogy religion is, I guess, Scientology.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right.
But it's so ridiculous. Like, yeah. I believe in real aliens way more than that shit. Like,
you don't believe in DC-9 space planes packed with souls?
You know, be like, yeah. That stuff is just complete nonsense, but there's clearly something else out there. It's just not that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up is because, you know, Scientology has this sci-fi bend to it, you know, where we're Thetans, you know, our bodies are just sort of holding a mortal being, but Scientology is so powerful, and it is, I mean, it's followed by so many sort of wealthy, powerful people, that there is to me this possibility that someone could see what Scientology did and say, oh, the long con is to create a belief system with a believable backstory. And in time, maybe enough people devote themselves to it that it grows into its own, like,
thing. That's a real long con, though. Real long. I mean,
don't you think to some degree?
Yeah, but L. Ron Hubbard was a very mediocre book author before. He had, like, he had a whole catalog before he started doing what he did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he was a pretty shitty author.
Yeah.
I mean, but.
Yeah. Until he wrote his people's Bible.
With one banger.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not. The one thing I'll say about the L&L folks is they're not very evangelical.
Oh, okay.
Like, and also what the law of one espouses doesn't lend itself to evangelicalism.
Right, yeah.
There is no right and wrong. There's only one. Right and wrong are the same thing. Right? There's no good and heavy. Evil.
It is. It's they say that, but what's weird too is, this is all just surface level knowledge. The stuff I've read that says there's two main types of entities or vibrational entities that exist. And if you want, one's called the Orion group, which they consider to be more like selfish creatures. Mm-hmm. And so when the harvest comes, they say you can evolve to be like someone that's helping others. You spend 90% of your life helping others, and that helps you evolve to this fourth state. Or you can do the exact opposite and spend your entire life being selfish and focused on yourself. Then you evolve to the level as well, but you're changing your focus on whether you want to be what we would probably consider a bad entity or a good entity.
It's all a video game, isn't it?
It is.
It really is.
It is.
Yeah. Choose your path. You
exactly.
Know, morality and things like that.
For sure.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah. But that's what's confusing to me. It's like they say there is no bad, and I guess that's true, but I guess you have to choose a path eventually. Hmm. Are you going to be focused on the service of others or the service of yourself?
Myself.
There you go.
Most people will do.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the problem.
They say it's a lot harder to evolve to the next level if you're that selfish, apparently. They say it's harder because you have to really love yourself.
The final boss is a bitch.
It is. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I, the religious aspect of it to me is why I wonder, you know, like, there's a lot of power in religion. So I guess maybe I'm just, my hackles are up because it's like,
of course,
you know, maybe this is like a, you know, someone trying to sort of build out a new religion or even just a cult or followers.
Right.
But
yeah.
Again, Elkins doesn't have the hallmarks of any kind of cult leader. Like, I couldn't tell from everything I read if he was dating this woman. They called, cause they wrote books together, and sometimes she referred to him as her partner, but it almost seemed like research partner.
Right. Oh, sure.
But I never read anything that said he was like, you know, banging a harem of women like your normal cult leader. Right.
Right.
So like, he seemed like a guy that was like, I approach this very scientifically.
Yeah.
Right. I don't like to speculate at all about any whether it's right or wrong or true. That's not my job. It's like to follow these protocols and do it as objectively as possible was my goal.
He perfected his tongue flops and his slurps. Exactly. And that was it. That
all
he wanted to do.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that we should bring up before we kind of just parse through this a little more is many people think that what was really going on here has to do back with that guy, Puhrich. Mm-hmm. Puhrich.
Mr. P.
Mr. Pibbles.
Yeah.
Because he also did research for the CIA.
Oh, now it's getting interesting.
Yeah. And one of the things that the CIA in this time period did all sorts of experiments with mind control and the astral plane and astral projection and lucid dreaming. Mm. they were all into paranormal mm-hmm. stuff. And he was someone who would, they was doing all sorts of research for them. And one thing that it's clear the CIA was interested in developing was the ability to do synthetic telepathy.
And telepathy. So you said that earlier, synthetic. Does that just mean, you said it's using a device, using right?
It's not from person to person. It's from person to thing.
To person, right.
Okay. Gotcha.
And our good friends at the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency were commissioned by the U.S. Army. They gave grants to the UC Irvine, Carnegie Mellon, the University of Maryland to create a device that could communicate with people's minds. And one person said that its goal was to put a little message in your head.
Hmm.
And this is the same stuff that this other guy with the Nine Elders was experimenting with. It's what his patents were about. Hmm. Were wow. about how to implant thoughts into somebody's head,
which will never be used for good.
No,
ever. No, no, no.
It'll
no,
be good no. once, and the rest of the yeah. of all time, it's just evil shit.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's a bummer. Like, no one's ever like, you're gonna like puppies from now on. It's like, oh, no, eggs,
right? And
don't forget eggs at the grocery store. Yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck, thanks.
Yeah, yeah, damn it.
And I guess what's terrifying about this is that if the government could, in some sense, using some sort of technology with radio frequencies and certain things, communicate to people, we have countless stories of people who've heard voices in their head.
Yeah.
I mean.
And we lock them up.
You know the yeah. famous story of Dan Rather and the guy that attacked him. What's the frequency, Kenneth?
I know that.
That song by R.E.M. Yeah, 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 that's about a guy that like.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was being communicated by Kenneth, and he thought it was coming from like NBC, and he like. Was always out front of their building and one time attacked Dan Rather. But people for
the real villain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tons of time. I mean, have talked about
yeah.
the voice inside their head and they know it's coming from somewhere. And if you don't think that the CIA would do that, if they had the technology, like
yeah.
they'll do any, they did in the '50s and sixties, the CIA did whatever they wanted mm-hmm. and they had little regard for the morality and ethics of any of it. So if this guy was experimenting with implanting memories using synthetic devices, some sort of way, so if he was actually channeling a real voice into this woman as part of an experiment that Elkins was in on, and she was just sort of a naive guinea pig, that opens up another possible yep. avenue.
Yeah.
And that scares me, especially because now with DARPA actually actively trying to build one of these things. And we've talked many times about, for example, Havana syndrome. If you don't know, is a it's got its name because the American embassy in Cuba, people were having this phantom sickness where they would hear stuff and then experience all kinds of nausea. And it's now many embassies around the world have experienced a similar thing.
And it causes brain damage. It like it's recordable what's happening, but it's invisible and they don't know track it.
Yeah, they don't know what it is, but it's basically like some frequency just hits your brain and it drives you batty.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of stuff as a weaponized version.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about our minds to me that you like to trust your thoughts, and at least you like to be able to kind of parse through them. And once you start hearing thoughts that you're like, I don't know why that thought is coming into my head, and I don't think it's originating from me. That's the beginning of lunacy in some regards.
Yeah. Yep.
And so if somebody has that power, right, whether it's channeled into something like this, which is somewhat innocuous, the law of one. Mm-hmm. I mean, the worst they ever did was put a website out. Right. That's one thing. But if it causes people to want to kill people just go insane or discredit people, that's a whole nother scary idea. If Don Elkins can basically figure out how to channel Ra through one of his engineering students, I'm damn sure the government figured it out first.
Maybe not. They always wait for someone else to do it sometimes, too, and then just take it. So they could have saw what he was doing and. Like, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if this is.
Let's kidnap them and take his research.
Yeah. I mean, if it's real and telepathic communication is something that these other dimensional beings can do, and they're like, well, teach us how to do that. And it's like, joke's on you, Ra. Now we're going to use this
yeah,
for our own selfish ends, which also gets us to the next dimension. So we're really not being,
yeah,
you know.
I'm surprised no, like another one didn't come down. Like, don't listen to Ra; he's a dick.
Here's, yeah, here, yeah.
Here's what you I think.
Yeah.
I have the rule of two.
Yeah, like, exactly. Something, like, yeah. One up for him or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the actual teachings of Ra, this sort of oneness, is not that far-fetched from a lot of other...
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, whether it's consciousness and the Monroe Institute has the same ideals about right. how we're all just one entity and yeah. We just experience ourselves and we eventually... And I think with the Law of One, once you evolve to the higher state of density, you start it all again. So it's just a journey of continuous learning and education. Do you know, what's the god in Egypt that's an ibis head? Do you know? I can't remember. There's a quote attributed.
Horus.
No, it's the owl. Or no, that's not the owl. It's the. I don't think it's. Is it Horus?
Is he,
anyway,
is he in Stargate also?
It probably. Yeah, yeah. That's where I get all my yeah. knowledge. Is Stargate.
I'll look it up.
But his he has a quote, and I'll have to look it up. But it's basically I start as a cell. I divide again. I divide again, and then I start it all again. It's basically it's just this constant cycle of learning and dividing and looking. So. It makes perfect sense that whatever this one consciousness is dividing just like cells because as
that dude right there,
that's Horus.
That's Horus.
I'm talking about the ibis.
Oh, the ibis. What
yeah.
is an ibis?
An ibis is a bird.
That is a bird.
hold on. I'm going to pause. I'm going to mark this just so I can look this up. Ibis quote.
Oh. I hate when you click on this and they give you like a.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A real like a that was oh who's this guy what a giant penis he has
who is it to,
phallic god Men
hell yeah
Men
look at that guy
oh fuck yeah
dude that guy
knows what's up
whoa
he's eighth density
right yeah eight and a half density
that is a...
eight and a half nine
you know? Yeah yeah you know.
Man. Yeah jeez what it's the... like biggest that's damn, that's a huge dung.
Like, that's so stupid. It's
funny, the girl who was under the... was like, and all men should have a 14-inch penis.
Yeah.
I am
that's
Ra.
The size of his body, man.
Yeah, what is that, dude? So, look at those nuts.
What
it's,
do
bigger,
do?
It's bigger than his entire torso, man.
What do I do with all this extra clay? I got one idea.
Man.
Or he was like, he started with the penis and then realized he didn't have enough for the body. He's just a bad sculptor.
Something like Michelangelo. Fuck, I used all of his yeah. dick.
That's why Michelangelo's is so small because he started with the body, then made the dick. This guy did the opposite.
Man, that's crazy.
Good for that guy.
Great looking dick, be, too.
Yeah, it's a great. Really nice
yeah.
shape.
Great looking dick.
How is it? He's very front heavy.
That's definitely sold in some store as like a
I
toy.
Hope. Yeah.
Oh, you mean like a sex toy?
Yeah, not for kids.
Women, no. get your ancient Egyptian god on.
I'm going to start sending that as a dick pic.
Dude. Yeah. You
come know? Like an Egyptian.
Yeah. God, that is an incredible Wang.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Is that his name, Wang?
Mm-hmm.
Min, his name's Min, M-I-N.
Oh, wait, if his men have been great, yeah.
Probably just, you know,
Min,
probably
more like
god
Max.
Of, probably
right?
the god yeah. of fertility.
You right?
It's
a god of bragging, maybe.
Yeah.
The god of bathhouses, you know?
The god of glory holes.
Yeah.
So did you find out
can't find it. Of course, when you go, it's Thoth.
Thoth. Oh, yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Thoth's good, man. He's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up in Narnia.
Does he really?
At the end, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shows up in the last battle, man.
Yeah. I can't find the quote, but it's interesting. Yeah, basically just talks about how it's all just cyclical, so. Huh.
Yeah, that's the Egyptian gods had a lot of cyclical theology because the Nile was such a cyclical part of their life.
Sure, sure.
You know, the flooding and recession of the Nile was the basis of all life. So, you know, I'll be honest. When I read the Law of One stuff, the religious part was boring to me. The stuff about, what's the word I'm looking for? Like the explanation for aliens or UFO. All that stuff's kind of cool to read.
And it is, yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting to me was this idea of the channeling process and how all of that could have just been part of a CIA manipulation
ring. Yeah.
Which is most interesting to me because it's probably the most plausible.
Right. That's all
yeah.
And for every sort of sane mechanical engineer who just puts a website up, there's a dude who killed somebody because Toth told him to.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, that to me is terrifying.
Yeah.
Is this different than, was it Manson who said his dog spoke to him or the neighbor's dog? Was it that him?
No, but Manson was a CIA. I mean, he was part of MK Ultra.
Is this a similar thing where it's like you heard this dog talking to him? Or like,
I think probably, the Central Intelligence Agency has been obsessed with the idea of mind control, the Manchurian type of candidate where you could program someone to do something beyond their will for 65 years and to this day, you know.
Yeah. And some of that technology doesn't even have to be mind based. They have speakers that are only, you can only hear them if you're directly in front of it. So, I mean, there's even like lower level technology that can make you think you're hearing things, you know. It doesn't even have to be as advanced as we're putting thoughts in your heads. We're just like making you hear shit.
I mean, a good ventriloquist could really.
Yeah. Jeff Dunham made
Jeff Dunham.
That's so funny.
Yeah. You got to be real careful.
Jeff Dunham made me racist. It wasn't me. It wasn't that way until I started liking his comedy.
His puppet Hot Tamale told me to
exactly
punch the.
I don't. I'm not saying that the religion stuff, because I know that someone who ascribes to the Law of One, I'm not saying the theology is bad. I'm just saying that wasn't what interested me about.
Right, this. Yeah. Yeah, there's multiple facets of it that are very interesting.
Because some people are on the line, like, I don't care anything about the controversy. This document exists. These 106 chapters exist. If you read those and follow what they tell you to do in your life, it's a good life. Not good, because good and bad are the same.
Right,
But
it's a life.
It's the way to live. And it's not that different than following the tenets of Buddhism or something. It's it's a very sort of neutral life.
Yeah, yeah.
For ascending to a higher level, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely worth a read. I'd say just dive in to the website and just read the stuff, because it's crazy. They say that UFOs that visit us, some are actually ours. So it's crazy that they would even like say that. I mean, back then some people thought that, but it's like, yeah, some of ours, some of the stuff you see is us. It's just crazy.
Meaning
we built craft. A lot of the craft you were seeing is ours.
Yeah.
I
hope that's not true. I hope it's really aliens.
I know. Well, I think it's both. They think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it might be us time traveling.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one too.
Don't you feel like if time travel is a thing, we've already had it by now? That whole idea.
No, because I don't know that you could time travel. Like, let's say time travel is invented in 2023. You'll be able to time travel back to 2023,
but never before,
but not 2022.
Oh, that'll suck.
Because the road starts at some point.
I want to change a couple of things.
Yeah.
You know, so you can get you. And I'm not saying it started into that. I think it started earlier, but you can't go back to like medieval times.
I can't see a dinosaur.
It's like kind of like you can't
take. What's the point? What's the point? Why if I can't see a dinosaur. That's all I want.
Like, you can take your cell phone back to 1971. It's not going to do you any good.
Right.
You're not going to be able to charge it.
Right.
You're not going to be able to get any service. It's.
I just wanted. Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
they'll re-engineer one soon.
Yeah.
The mammoth is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they got the mammoth meatball.
Right.
Yeah. So so I don't know if they are or not, but I know that it would make sense to me if that's where they came from. If they're ours.
Yeah.
They're
derived from. That's one of the prevailing hypotheses for sure. Because I assume that if I evolve, I'd end up being shorter with less hair, bigger eyes, and be very gray and pasty, like the little gray alien. So, yeah.
Oh, that's a great theory.
You're pretty close. Yeah, you're getting there.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty close, honestly.
Yeah. What do you got? Final thoughts on this thing?
Yeah, I'll go, and then you can go. I'll give the last final thought. Yeah, I just, this is one thing that I've said about our podcast a bunch, and I have said about the Law of One, is that we talk a lot about conspiracies that may not be true at all, but they're fun to talk about, and it's a story in the zeitgeist, and it's a fun thing to do. but talk about these things. And whether this is real or not, man, there's a lot of great fun to read info on there. You know, I don't know what prompted them to do it, whether it's real or not, but man, it's a good afternoon killer.
How long would it take you to create 106 chapters with that kind of...
I would never be able to.
It's a pretty elaborate story if it's fake.
Yeah, it's super elaborate. Yeah. I wouldn't be... I think it's one of those things, like, and the only thing that usually drives people to do that is actually devotion to their cause or money, and money was clearly not a cause.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, regardless of whether it's real or not, some good theology in there. It's worth checking out. Always worth trying to be a better person, and that's what this says to do. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. How about you? What's your fun about?
Things like this, I'm always like, why? Which is what the whole point of this is. Like, why are they doing this? Mm-hmm. Why waste your time, money, energy, your life, your job, you know, everything to do this? And it's something that I think we'll never know. Like, what makes people do these weird, but like, we enjoy, we cool shit. Like, we love hearing about this stuff. But it's like, I don't know. It's like the whole, what I was thinking of too, is just like The Exorcist still scares me to this day. Like, I'm picturing someone laying there spitting up, just like yelling all these weird things. And that's, it's obviously way less, more tame here, but it's like, if that can happen, it's like, that terrifies me in a way.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also kind of cool that it can happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it can't be used for good. Nothing's used for good ever, you know, unfortunately, that should be. But it's like, you know, it's here.
You know, that's interesting point, because I was telling somebody recently that there's a theory that you hear oftentimes atheists talk about, which is like, if all the science books were destroyed, that eventually science would get back to, they would learn the same thing.
100%.
Yeah.
What happens with science is that oftentimes science gets tugged and pulled and framed by very political power and things. So like they are prevented from saying something that is probably true for one sort of reason or another. You could make the same argument about spiritual truth or, you know, whatever you want to call that, that if the inquiry into the metaphysical nature of reality were not contaminated by political influence, right? The fact that like this church hates that church, or we believe this and y'all are wrong. If we were just to like wipe it all out and come together, there's striking similarity in the religious truths that the world has always believed, right? Mm-hmm. Like the moral truths of the universe seem to always sort of emerge very, very similar.
It's when the lunatics latch on to the completely made up nonsense that they believe is true. That's what it's like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Exactly. Right. And some people could say that people like us talking about this are those crazy people. But thing is,
we know it. Yeah.
This doesn't change my day to day.
Right.
Right. So it's like, we can talk about this stuff on a pod, or we can
channel. I mean, that might change my day to day.
You guys want to channel next weekend? You free?
Let's do it. Yeah. I'm free. Yeah.
I'll
try
it. Especially like, you know what? A lot of people that I read, who did DMT, a lot of DMT folks are Law of One people. They're like, all this jives really well with DMT.
Oh, interesting.
I would 100% try to be channeled or do the channel.
Yeah?
I would love to.
DMT? Would you do that?
No, I wouldn't do that stuff, but I would do
the channeling. We'll put you both on the table. I'll do DMT, and then I'll just hear what you guys have to say.
I would do DMT. I just want a doctor on board.
Right.
Yeah. With our old hearts, we're fucked.
Yeah, that's what I don't want. I just want a doctor to be on call.
Yeah.
So in case, like...
Yeah. I just read this guy's DMT experience on Reddit, and he was saying that a lot of people talk about a light that they see and to go to it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, felt very comforting, felt like, you know, going to light. And then he goes, oh, but if I go through this light, I'll die. Mm. So he was very conscious of that. And he opened his eyes and then closed them again because he was like, I don't want to go in there. And then he said, when he closed his eyes, was it Demirge? What's that demon, that giant demon? He said, grabbed him by the neck, was like, you're supposed to go to the light. And like, he was yelling at him. And he like flipped out. He's like, okay, I'm done with that. Like,
I'll never do that.
Damn,
man.
Yeah. But DMT sounds great. I want to meet the machine elves. I want to meet everything people talk about.
Yeah. Well, just be careful.
Yeah. Don't do drugs,
that,
kids.
That, you know, that you're not being manipulated by some sort of synthetic mind control device that the CIA has finally figured out with the help of DARPA. But
I think the least of our worries is that we're more worried about TV just destroying our brains, telling us things, and the internet. The internet's doing it publicly, and it doesn't bother us.
That's what I'm saying. There's explicit mind control.
Yeah. Right.
going on.
Wait a minute. So is the internet the synthetic thing? So basically, mind controls people. Yeah,
I think it's actually pop-up ads.
Oh, that's right. that's
God, man. You know you're getting old when they get harder and harder to close down, man. I can't find the X.
It's like, this pop-up ad told me to kill my family. That's weird.
Yeah.
Couldn't get rid of it. All right. Yeah,
okay.
Whenever it pops up for like a game ad where it's like, buy this game. And I'm like, no, this game of closing this down is fun enough. You know, I don't need to.
Wait 30 seconds. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I've basically stopped going to any website because of pop-ups. It's like, I can't.
Care anymore.
Can't. I hate it.
I haven't checked my email in 8 years.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, I've had 16,000 emails unopened in my inbox. All right. Well, I think that's it for the Law of One.
Okay.
But I feel like we'll be back to the Law of One. There's a lot we could.
Are we all the same thing now? Us three, are we one?
We are.
Everybody's one.
There is a small coupling ceremony afterwards where we light candles. We stand in a row and centipede ourselves, but that's a different
thing. Bring that giant dong in. Yeah, exactly. You got yourself a date.
Yeah, that's enough dick for all of us to suck.
Jesus.
Oh,
it's like a giant corn on the cob.
Oh, man. Before we get out of here, Brian, what should people know about you in terms of comedy? Or I know you have a really fun podcast. Tell us about that thing.
My podcast is called Playable Characters Podcast. Got to get you guys on. I interview video game characters, so I have other comics come on, pretend they're a character. And I just talk to them like they're a real person for like 30, 40 minutes. It's really fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been doing it since 2017.
Oh, wow.
200-something episodes. A little slight hiatus now just because, you know, after a while you got to take a break.
Sure.
But it's love doing it. I've been doing stand-up for 18 and a half years, voiceover for 13 years. And yeah, I love doing all this weird
shit. Do you have socials that people can find you and follow?
Yeah, Laugh at Brian on Instagram and Twitter, Playable Podcast on Twitter and TikTok. I'm on YouTube where I do weird, dumb videos.
Cool. Yeah, love it.
I reviewed 114 of my Ninja Turtle figures during COVID.
Nice.
I did one-minute episodes on each figure.
Oh, that's crazy.
Kind of like a Tim and Eric type style, like very dumb and silly.
That's fun.
But I was bored and I had 100 turtle figures sitting there. So wow. I'll do something with them.
Yeah.
And the guy who actually was in the Leonardo costume in the first movie always likes my videos.
Like, oh, nice.
I guess he looks for him on Instagram. He'll like it or stuff. So
that's awesome.
That's awesome.
His name is Mark Queso.
Is he the one that lived in Wilmington? Because one of those guys was
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. He was a gymnast and he broke his neck and then became a stunt guy. So he was in the turtle. Wow. He was in the Leonardo costume.
Like a bad choice.
Right? I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Turtles can't move their necks though, so it's good.
Yeah. Good call.
So, always trying to do weird.
That's awesome. I want to say this before we get out of here. It's always a joy when we have comics move to the area that are actually good
and
funny and nice. So thank you for being part of the scene.
I thought you were coming with a butt there. Like, it's always great when someone funny.
Every now and then.
But, you know, Brian, it's okay that you're here too.
Here's the thing. And it's
Log one. We're all funny.
Like a few of you guys have jokingly, lovingly made fun, in the group, whereas I'm always like, this is such a nice positive scene down here. And it really is. Cause coming from New York, doing stand up there since 2004, which made me a good, you have to be a good comic to last there that long. And I think it makes you good just in general. It hardens you. You know it's funny, you know it's not. But even at your mic, Justin, hanging out there and just seeing everything, it's such a fun, supportive, good time. And mics in New York aren't like that.
Yeah,
they're complete opposite. They're a hellscape. But it's good down here. Hanging out at the clubs is a good time. And everybody kind of does it. And it's there's only, maybe 100 comics down here. I feel like there's 10,000 in New York. So it's a smaller, it's a smaller, more fun at times.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a good time down
here. Yeah.
I was nervous at first, but starting anew, but you guys have been awesome.
Well, good. It helps that you're good.
Yeah.
If you weren't good, we wouldn't be hanging.
This has been a really a blast to talk about. Thank y'all for listening. Join our Patreon, Spotify Premium if you can. Drink a Hot Fly beer. And listen to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was
Brian McGinnis.
Peace.
Peace.
That was fun.
That's how I do every audition. Brian McGinnis, you got to sleep.